First Peter chapter number 2. Freedom in Christ. That's what we're going to talk about today. Freedom in Christ. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. 1 Peter 2, verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Jump down to verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to come to church today freely, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity that we are here in America, that, Lord, there's a harvest ready. There's a harvest ready to be brought in. There's a people ready to hear the gospel. There's no doubt there's people that are in our lives, Lord, that are ready for us to tell the gospel to them. Lord, would we take advantage of that? Lord, would you? Lord, would you hide me behind the cross and use me? Lord, help me to have your thoughts and your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians chapter number 5. Brother Scales caught me in the back there and grabbed my Bible, and he said, better not forget that. And I said, yep, because if anything's good going to happen in this sermon, it's going to come from the Word of God. And luckily, I got a lot of Bible that we're going to read, so keep your fingers ready to flip around the pages. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Christian freedom, that's what we have. It's a freedom from sin, not a freedom to sin. There's an agenda out there that wants to tell you that once you're saved, you can go do what you want, you can go live how you want, you can go be how you want, and you know what? The sad thing is, the wonderful thing actually, is that they're right. You can go do that. You have the freedom in Christ to go live your life like that. But there's no blessing. There's no promise. And if you're really going to go do that, there's probably no fruit. And there's probably no salvation. Because I know what I got. And you know, in 1 Peter that said, have obtained mercy. I got mercy. I obtained mercy. I was once lost, but now I am saved. I was once in darkness, but now I'm in the light. And once you're in the light, you can't go back to the darkness. It's too good in the light. Man, ever had been in a pitch black area, lights off in the dark, and try to run? It's not going to work out probably. You don't know where you're going. You don't know how you don't know what's around you. Even if you were given a completely empty room, you're going to find a wall eventually. And it's not going to be a good idea to run in that room. You can run in light. You can run in the Christian light. There's nothing holding us back from doing that as well. Christian liberty is a gift, but it is not an invitation to live carelessly. It frees us from sin, from the sin chains, from the weight of the law. But that freedom comes with the responsibility to honor God and to serve others. True liberty is not about indulging our desires, but about loving to be selfless, walking in grace and reflecting Christ's character. We're called to balance the joy of freedom and obey God with humility, using our liberty off to lift others and glorify the one who set us free. In this, we find a deeper purpose. We find our purpose in Christ, living not for ourselves, but for Jesus Christ. How do we use our freedom to glorify others and not ourselves? Let's look at the nature of Christian freedom. First, there's freedom from the bondage of sin. There's freedom from the bondage of sin. Romans chapter number 6, verse 18. Keep a finger in Romans. We'll be flipping back there throughout today. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. there's a point where you're. I remember when I got saved, May 28, 2008. I remember I went to teen camp. The sermon that the preacher preached before I got saved was not a good one. It wasn't. The guy was talking about whatever. He wasn't a preacher. Just the guy from the church was having a good time, joking around. But there was other preachers that preached that week, and they had me under conviction. And I know who was preaching next. And I said, I'm not going to put myself through another sermon where I know the Holy Spirit's going to convict me like he has in the past. I'm going to get it settled now. So I walked out after he preached, and I found an old log around a campfire, and that's where I got saved. I couldn't live with the guilt anymore. I couldn't live with the bondage to my guilt, knowing that if I died, if I was to not live through that next service, I would have gone to hell. And I couldn't live with it anymore. I had to get it settled. So that's what I did. I had to go from darkness to light. I had to go from the bondage of sin into the liberty of living as a Christian. Salvation liberates us from the sin's penalty and power. This freedom means we are no longer enslaved to the desires of flesh as well, but we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to resist sin. Before Christ, you're on your own. You don't have the Holy Spirit prompting you. You don't have the Holy Spirit guiding you. You are on your own. You don't have the comforter, right? I've often thought about, you know, life's hard. I can't imagine what it'd be like without God. I can't imagine what it'd be like without the comforter. You know, there's going to be things that are trials in every single person's life. They're going to experience some sort of trial. And if it hasn't yet happened, it probably will. But how often do we think about those around us that are living without the comforter, without the one that helps us in our hard times, without the one that helps us in our trials, in our trouble? We have that responsibility to tell them. We also have the freedom to serve God. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled in the yoke of bondage." True freedom enables us to live according to God's design and purpose. We can read the Bible, we can follow God's instructions, and we can receive blessings in our life. That is wonderful. You know, the world can receive blessings from following God's word. There's principles in the Bible that you can follow as a lost person and be blessed by. But how much more is it greater to be a child of God and receive the blessings and the promises of God? We get the full promises of God. The world's idea of freedom is selfishness. God's freedom is about service and holiness. Oftentimes, we live in America, of course, the greatest country in the world. So we get freedom. You go over to, I spent a night in Germany on the way back, and there's doesn't feel like it's free over there. Feels like they're being oppressed. I talked to a couple people, and they have to, if their car is on too long in their driveway, they're going to get called, and the police are going to come to the door. If they like a post on Facebook that the government doesn't like, they're going to get police at their door. If they're too loud in their own home, they can get police called to them. If two people are in an argument and the police get called on them, it is no longer up to them to decide who's the right and who's wrong. The police will come and tell them who was right and who was wrong. That doesn't sound like freedom to me, but we live in America, thank God. We have a lot of freedom. We have a lot of opportunity. But with that freedom and opportunity, it gets abused. There's oftentimes the world is going to live it to their fullest. They're going to live in pleasure. They're going to live in sin. And they're going to abuse that freedom that we have. We have the opportunity to take advantage of that freedom as Christians. We have that opportunity that you can go on any street corner in America and say that Jesus is Lord, and I believe it, at anything, as loud as you want, as many times as you want, and nobody's going to stop you. And if they do, take them to court, because that's your First Amendment right. legal advice from Anthony. Misusing liberty, right? We look back at 1 Peter. In verse number 16, chapter 2, verse 16, it says, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of God. The cloak of maliciousness. What is that? What does malicious mean? It's harboring ill will or enmity. It's being opposed as to being a friend, being the opposite of a friend. Without, it's being to the point where you see someone as less than you or an enemy of you rather than a friend of you. The Bible says to not let that liberty that we have become a cloak of maliciousness. What does it mean to use cloak as a cloak is a covering? It represents using grace to justify your sin. Using what kind of sin do we justify? Bad habits, neglecting our spiritual discipline, prioritizing ourselves over others. These are things that Christians will do to cloak ourselves, right? Well, I don't have time for that. I got to go do good works. I don't have time for that. I got to go do this. When oftentimes there's souls that are around us that need saved, that need witness to, that are more important than your good works. They're more important than looking righteous. There's danger in misusing that freedom in Christ. Back to Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We can't. Not if you're saved. Not if you're saved. You're going to want to live differently. Misusing liberty will damage your testimony and dishonor God. How often is it someone that we're trying to witness to or someone that we're trying to have an influence on their life and re-damage our own testimony by saying the wrong thing, by not doing the right thing, and re-hurt that testimony, that influence that it has on people? It leads to confusion and creates stumbling blocks for other believers as well. There's a lot of YouTube preachers out there that are just trying to create stumbling blocks for people. They're trying to create some new theology. They're going to kind of create some new distraction. But we need to stay focused for God. We need to stay focused on what our mission is as Christians. Why do we not use this freedom in Christ? We need to use this freedom in Christ to treat people the way that God wants people to be treated and not just the way that we want to treat people. You know, oftentimes we think, well, you know, I'll treat people how I want to be treated, but some of us don't, you know, it's okay if you treat me bad, I don't care. But how does God want us to treat people? God wants us to love people. God wants us to encourage people. God wants us to be uplifting. God wants us to be a light in that darkness. They need to see us. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in this flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace for you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Jesus set the example for this. Amen. There is no other greater example that we can look to than Jesus Christ. You talk about somebody that had reason to treat people the way we think that people should be treated. You know, oh, they did wrong to us, do wrong to them. Oh, they crossed us, we'll cross them. That's not how Jesus served. That's not how Jesus treated me. Jesus showed me mercy. When I put Jesus on the cross with my sins, he gave me mercy. He gave me grace. And he gave me the opportunity to live forever with him. I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. But we obtained mercy anyway. Using freedom to speak harshly or act selfishly, let's not do that. Let's not neglect God's commandment under the pretense of freedom. You know, every one of us has the freedom to not go soul winning. Every one of us has the freedom to avoid outreach. Every one of us has the freedom to avoid the bus ministry. Every one of us has freedom to not be involved in missions. But God has commanded us to do it. We could avoid that, yes. We're not gonna get sentenced to hell. We've received Jesus Christ as our Savior. But how many commands that we could follow that we just neglect, we avoid because of this newfound freedom in Christ? It's not the way. You know, in other countries like Bulgaria and Moldova, it's works-based. You know, Jehovah's Witness and Mormons have to go soul winning. They have to go door to door. They have to go on their mission. They have to go to church. They have to give offerings. They have to pray for their dead loved ones. They have to do all these different things. We don't have to do any of that. Some of that is straight up heresy that they're trying to have to. But we have a get to. We have a obtained mercy so that we could be a peculiar people, so that we could go share the gospel and be a chosen generation. We have that opportunity, not because we have to, but because we get to. Living as servants of God, freedom brings responsibility. True liberty is lived out in submission to God. John 8:36, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Christian freedom means to being bound to Christ and not enslaved to sin. I'm not bound by sin. I want to be bound to Jesus. I'm not bound to the world's philosophies and theologies. I'm bound to the Word of God. Servants must have a free mindset. Now, I like acronyms, so I'm going to give you an acronym for the word free, so we can have a free mindset. F, faithful to God. We have to have the mindset that we are going to be faithful to God to the end. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. How do we love one another? By keeping God center of our minds. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Psalms 37:3-4. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thy heart. We're to be faithful to God. This mindset needs us to be faithful to God. R. Responsible living. We must have the mindset to live responsibly. You know, as a Christian, we have such a broad responsibility to live responsibly. There's so many areas that consist of, whether it's cleanliness, whether it's politeness, whether it's doing good by those around us, doing good work in the community, being a good businessman, being a good customer. This is such a broad aspect. And thankfully, we go to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and Pastor Ross has covered a multitude of this. We just went through the responsibility of finances. That's a responsibility for the Christian to not waste the funds that God's given us. Those funds can go to getting more John and Romans to kids. That may be their only chance. This may be their only window where a missionary has the opportunity to come into their country and give them a John and Romans. Some of these countries could close like that, and they proved it with COVID. A lot of them can close so fast, but they have this window of opportunity where they can get the gospel. When you walk through a lot of these villages that are Orthodox, or even there's a Muslim influence and Orthodox influence in a lot of these villages, you would walk past a house that was owned at one time by someone that had passed away or a relative, and they would put little pictures of that person and something about that person, and that they were part of the Orthodox Church or the Muslim Church, and they would place it on their door. and have their date, right? Kind of like our graves, right? But they put it on their house. And I saw a couple that was just last year that they passed away. And here I am bringing the gospel a year later. Here I am getting the gospel not in time. These people don't have the truth. So if someone doesn't surrender their life and go to that field, that person doesn't get the chance to hear the truth. They have a corrupt Bible. They don't read the Bible. They listen to the Muslim people. They listen to the Orthodox people. They're not telling them how to get to heaven. But these gospel tracts would give them a chance to read it and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And us living responsibly is a contributing factor to the success of our missionaries. The more that we can give them, the more that we can get to them, the better off they can stay on the field, the better off they can get out more John and Romans, the better off printing presses can print off more scriptures to send over to another country so they can get out more John and Romans, so more people have a chance to hear the gospel. I feel like sometimes I'm guilty of it myself. We forget that these people are the only chance that some people are ever going to have to hear the gospel. Why? Because we live in a community where four different churches may come by your house, knocking on your door. We live in a country where you can scroll on your Facebook or your YouTube or whatever you're scrolling through and probably eventually come across something telling you the gospel. Something eventually telling you to come to their Easter service. Nobody's promoting their Easter service over in Moldova. Nobody's promoting their Easter service over in other countries, part of the world. No one's telling them. Responsible living goes further than just, well, I need to be responsible because I need to look good at church. No, I need to be responsible because eternity matters to people all around me. Romans 14, verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then everyone shall give an account of himself to God. We will all have that opportunity to show God what we've done. We will all have that opportunity to show God how we've been responsible for our lives. Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. Let nothing be done in strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others, right? We just heard last Sunday, mind your business, right? We also need to look to others and see what they need help with, right? Don't be so minding your business, although it is good in the context the pastor is preaching it. Sometimes we need to be able to look and say, I could help that. I have the ability to help there. I have the ability to make a difference in that person's life. I have the ability to maybe speak life into them and to speak a little bit of truth to them. All right, next E. We have E. First E. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Our freedom enables us to live through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. In Romans 8:1, therefore, now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We have the opportunity to be led by the Holy Spirit. How often have we been in a public place or even somewhere where the Holy Spirit prompted us to witness to somebody and we just said, not right now, I'm busy. Yeah. Share a story, I was working up at a gold mine in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I was operating a drill rig, drilling my holes, doing my job, night shift, not wanting to talk to anybody in my little world, happy place. Got my preaching on, got my Christian music on. This is where I'm going to spend the next 12 hours. Drill breaks immediately. Day ruined. Not really, but a mechanic gets called to come to my drill. The mechanic comes to the drill, comes to the drill and fixes the drill. Good luck. Have a nice day, Anthony. Cool. See you later. I go back to drilling in my drill. Happy day. About 2 hours go by. My drill breaks again. Same guy. His last name is Good. Mr. Good, comes to the drill after it's broken, tinkers around, blah, blah, blah. I'm minding my own business. I'm doing my job. He's doing his. Drill's good to go. See you later, Anthony. Okay, all right, see you, man. The Holy Spirit each time said something about witnessing to this guy. Mr. Good comes back to my drill after 3 hours operating. The drill breaks again. Comes to the drill. I'm sitting in the drill. It's cold outside, so each time I'm just sitting in my chair, just twiddling my thumbs while he's working on this little computer thing. And I'm like, all right. Holy Spirit's like, how many times are we going to do this? Said, oh. Hey, Nate, good. Do you go to any church anywhere? No, but I've been thinking about that. My mom just started going to church, and yeah, I think I need to go to church. Come to church with me. We're off this Wednesday. Yeah, I'm going to come to church with you. He got saved that Wednesday. How many times did he need to break my drill and send him? But man, I could have had a great night if I'd obeyed the first time. Who knows? There's opportunity for us to be led by the Holy Spirit to witness to people all the time. Do we take advantage of that opportunity? Because oftentimes what happens is we get that one chance, and then maybe God doesn't intervene. Maybe God just lets things pan out because you failed to obey that first time. If I failed to obey that first time, Mr. Good probably didn't get to come to church. Probably didn't come to hear the gospel. Probably doesn't get saved. It's our responsibility. E, this is important. We need to have an eternal perspective, looking for that blessed hope. The eternal perspective. Looking for that blessed hope, our freedom should reflect that revalue eternity, focusing on God's kingdom rather than temporary treasures. Colossians 3:2. Had to remember God's eats popcorn there. Colossians 3:2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Our lives need to bring God glory. We can do that now if God is our life now. 2 Corinthians 4:17. 2 Corinthians 4:17. The more Bible I read, the better it is. 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Keep in our mind on what's going to last in eternity. We need to use our, so that's free, okay? That was our free mindset, all right? We need to use liberty also to silence the critics. 1 Peter 2:15. We read this at the beginning. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. By your well-doing, you can silence people that are criticizing the faith. It's criticizing who Christians are. Because oftentimes they've experienced a negative reaction with somebody that claims Christianity but is not living for Christ. We have that opportunity to go above and beyond and be that witness to them, be that light that they can say, I have no bad to say about him other than he's a Christian. I would love that, right? That's the goal. The only bad thing they can say about us is that we're a Christian. I'll die there. I think God would be proud of us for doing that. Living with purpose. Each of us need to examine how we're using our freedom. How we're using this freedom that we've been given in Christ. Are we wasting it, or are we taking advantage of this opportunity we have, this one life to live, to where we can go out and say, I'm doing it all for Christ. I'm doing it all for His glory. I'm doing it all so missionaries can go get the gospel to other people. I'm doing everything I can now so that somebody somewhere will have an opportunity to hear the gospel and their life can be changed and they can obtain mercy like I have obtained mercy. That's what causes a person to live peculiar. That's what causes a person to want to be that person that is part of that chosen generation, right? Having felt that mercy yourself, to share it with somebody else. Are we using our liberty to grow spiritually and serve others, or are we wasting it? Consider how your freedom impacts those around you. Lord willing, my life will live out, my testimony will be that I live for Jesus. My testimony will be that I took advantage of this freedom that God has given me. Each of us are going to give an account for God. What will your account read? He abused, she abused the liberty that I gave, or they took advantage of the freedom that God has given us. Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, what a great thought, Lord, for each of us to adhere to our lives. Lord, I pray that every single one of us didn't just listen, Lord, but that we took that in and decided that I'm going to do something with what you've given each and every one of us here in America, and that's freedom, Lord, freedom to do the right thing, freedom to open up a Bible, freedom to pray to you whenever we want, freedom to serve you with our life, Lord. And I pray that Blessville Baptist Church, we'd strive for that as we enter this new chapter for this year when it comes to our Operation Occupation, Lord. I pray that we would get a burden inside of us, Lord, to not just get a map done, Lord, but to find someone that needs to be saved. Find somebody that's looking for a church, Lord. Find someone to be an encouragement to, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd use this message tonight, Lord, to stir us up, encourage us, Lord, to do the right thing as Christians and not sit around and while we're looking for that blessed hope, sit on the sidelines, Lord. But while we're looking for that blessed hope, Lord, I pray that we'd stay busy until the day that you come.